case is 97-1175, 97-1176, State of Ohio versus Attorney McKinney. President Resnick has recused himself from this case. Sitting in place of Justice Resnick.
Like a double head.
James Rogan, who is the judge of the Court of Appeals, sitting in the Second District.
Our second act to the play.
That's right.
Mr. Dennis.
This case that is before us is perhaps one of the most narrow issues that you will have to decide. And in addition, I suspect that looking at the length of the transcripts, it all makes you some form of plea. And what there was, I believe, less than 30 pages, given the amount of transcripts that you normally have to look at. But that is indicative of the narrowness of the issue that is before us. And that issue is whether or not a search warrant, which gives what we consider a blanket provision that any person in a place can be searched, is appropriate under the circumstances of this particular case. The review of this case, as far as I'm concerned, starts with the United States Supreme Court case of Navarro versus Illinois, which in essence held that individuals under a statute could not be searched, that there was no particular reason to search those individual buckets. I think it has been long held, and there's a number of decisions that indicate that, in fact, that was a public tavern, and the issue that is before us is a private residence.
The possibility of searching an innocent person in a public place is more likely to occur than in a private place, would it not? Because somebody who goes to a tavern may go with no knowledge that people may be doing drugs around them, but in a confined space like an apartment, isn't it more likely that the person there may be connected with criminal activity than in your barrow, where your barrow is simply on the premises of a bar in which others were suspected of criminal activity?
Yeah, I would agree that it's probably more likely in a tavern or a public place that a person would not be aware of some criminal activity that's going on. However, I think our Constitution has always provided that there must be some individualized reason for you searching a particular person. And the problem with the blanket search warrant is that had the officers suspected that an individual such as Mr. McKinney would have been there, then they could have had some particularized reason to search that individual. It is quite evident that the only reason that Detective Urbach and the other police officers even searched Mr. McKinney was purely because of the language in the search warrant. There was, and I found that particularly interesting because as I viewed the cases, first, basically, the police officer feels that he can get a hangnail from seeing an individual in a place that he has the right to claim a Terry violation and therefore go ahead and search him.
You can see that an all-persons warrant might be constitutional under
absolutely
limited circumstances?
No, absolutely not. I think the status of the law, if we look at the cases that relate to reasons that a police officer can search an individual in a premise, just about anything that an individual does that would give rise to a police officer believing that his or other police officers' safety was in jeopardy, give the police officer a right.
What if he had gone, an officer had gone in and made a controlled purchase in an apartment which was strictly a crack house, and the officer that made the buy was observant to note that everybody on the premises seemed to be engaged in drug activity. There were no innocent people on the premises, and he noted that. Everybody on the premises is engaged in drug activity. It's a crack house, it's ongoing activity. He immediately goes back and with some detail reports what he saw in an affidavit to the issuing magistrate, that he has just made a purchase of crack in a crack house. It's ongoing activity, and he relates the facts of everybody on the premises being engaged in that activity. Why wouldn't that give the magistrate probable cause to believe that any of the persons on the premises when they go back shortly thereafter would be engaged in criminal activity. I mean, he's not going to go there and start taking names of everybody. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? He's just observing criminal activity of everybody on the premises.
The reason that that scenario can be distinguished from the scenario that we have here today is because the officer would have had individualized...
But it's still an all persons warrant, because the warrant would say to search all persons, because he doesn't know the names of the other people who are on the premises.
Well, I can see that, but even at that, he would have some individualized violations that these persons...
He would have probable cause to believe that those people are violating.
Are committing or have committed a crime based upon his own observation. We don't have that in this scenario.
What evidence did the officers have when they went in? That your client, what was your client doing when your clients, when the police came in, that would indicate some type of illegal activity to the police, and that they, now I thought the police said that they searched him based upon the search warrant.
Exactly.
And did they say that, is that the only reason that I took out of the briefs that they searched him? Is that the search warrant said search everybody? We did do that. Did they express any need out of fear of their safety or anything to do this?
Your Honor, this was the shortest cross-examination I've ever done as a lawyer. And when the direct examination was put on, that the only reason that the officer searched my client was because of the language of the search warrant, I just had to reiterate that and sat down. There was no other reason in the record. If we look at the record, there's no other reason that would give rise to the officer searching Ernest Kinney. He had no individual probable cause. It was not a Terry type situation. None of these factors existed that would have given the officer a lawful reason to search and pat down Ernest Kinney.
Was there any information contained in the warrant that would give rise to the assertion by the police that anyone in the house had to be engaging in criminal activity?
No, as a matter of fact, similar to the case that was cited in the brief, Tucker, the individual that they were targeting was an African-American named Big Nate, who was 40 years of age, heavy set, and even though it's not in the record, my client was in his early to mid-20s and slender individual. He did not fit the description of this Big Nate. So again, there was no reason for them to search Ernest Kinney. When they went into the premises, Ernest Kinney did nothing but comply with what they told him to do. The officers cannot indicate that they felt threatened in any way. They cannot indicate that they saw the fruits of crime going on, as the justice has indicated to us, or in plain view that would give them rise
But counsel, they had the warrant. Didn't the warrant include in it evidence of ongoing crime activity? That's what helped lead the magistrate to issue that warrant, isn't it?
May I suggest to you, Your Honor, that there's virtually not a drug search warrant that is made that does not have that kind of language in it. That is almost as blanket as the language that we're criticizing right now. But the whole point of it is that was there any particularized language that would give the police officer some reason to search Ernest Kinney?
Right, and your suggestion is his physical nexus to a crime scene, which happens to be not a public public setting, but a small home where there has been an affidavit, you know, a law officer says, we know this fits the regular scenario of a crack house or a drug house. His physical nexus to that drug house isn't enough.
Well, New York versus Sebron virtually says that you can be in the midst of a crime and not be culpable.
Is that in a private residence that was targeted as a drug house?
Well, it doesn't go to that particular issue, but it does go to the issue as to whether or not you can be in the midst of a crime and because of that then be arrested. And so what I suggested, the mere his mere presence, Columbus versus Russell, a person's mere presence does not give rise to them being arrested.
That's exactly right. I know that, Counsel Ybarra, but we have to, don't we, for the purposes of analysis of this case, have to go a bit beyond the phrase mere presence? Don't we have to put it in context with the warrant and the area that the warrant covered?
Well, I would agree that we have to, but I don't see any of the facts that seem to support that.
Okay.
I don't see where Mr. Kinney did anything that
right.
suggested that the police officer should arrest him. There's no evidence.
Do we need that? That's, I guess, the question. Do we need some further activity on the part of Mr. Kinney to support the search?
What we need is that for the police officer to come up with articulable facts whereby...
Particularized to Mr. Kinney is
exactly.
what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Whereas that police officer can say that, at least as to Terry, that they felt...
But this isn't Terry, this is a warrant.
Well, I'm saying that's the only reason that I can see that Mr. Kinney would have been justified in having it down or arrested. And note, the reason that Erbar indicated that he arrested him, he based it on probable cause based on the search warrant.
Right.
Now, there was the Terry situation is much more limited than probable cause. He was saying, I had a right to search this person merely because he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that our Constitution is saying that to police officers, that merely because a person is in a house that they can do that.
Well, he searched him because he was commanded to search him. The warrant commanded him to search all persons found on the premises, didn't he?
Well, he searched him, my understanding of his language was he searched him because he had the authority under the warrant
right.
to do that, but that doesn't mean he had to.
No, but the issue is, could the judge who issued the warrant actually command an officer to search all persons, or does that violate the particularity requirement of the Fourth Amendment?
My understanding is it authorizes him to do something. It doesn't command him to do something in a search warrant.
A warrant orders an officer to do something. You are commanded to do it. You are to search the following people. That's what the warrant says. The officer didn't have any choice. Now, if he had entered the premises with authority, and he was on the premises and he saw in plain view a probable cause to believe your client was committing a crime, then that would be a separate and independent reason for searching him, and that would be a plain view search or some exigent circumstance for searching. But the reason this case is here before this court is the critical question of whether an all-persons warrant is constitutional. This isn't just an everyday Fourth Amendment case. This is a question of whether an all-persons warrant could, under any circumstance, be constitutional.
And this court ruled on that issue when it denied a writ of certiorari on State v. Tucker. This court...
Does a denial of writ stand for anything?
I think it does. I think it stands for the fact that this court is saying that this is the law of the state of Ohio.
Well, we've taken the case to decide whether an all-persons warrant is constitutional under any circumstance, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
Could you imagine any case where it would be constitutional?
Not that plain language, no, I cannot. I think the Constitution requires some particularized reason to search the individuals there.
This was an apartment.
And just a blanket assertion that you can search anybody there is insufficient because the affidavit doesn't support that language. If the affidavit supported the language, that'd be something different. Like the scenario that you provided earlier, there's something in that affidavit that suggests that those individuals there have committed or are committing a crime, and the police officer has personal knowledge of it, and therefore it's appropriate.
That's given. If Big Nate's wife and kids were there, they would have been required to be searched because the warrant said to search all persons found on the premises. So if little Susie's sitting there in the house watching TV, she's subject to the search.
Given that language, and I think that language is inappropriate. I take my time.
You have a little less than 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm going to reserve that time.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Mr. Stott.
Good Yes, Nate, let's do some court and let me judge and request that maybe an additional minute or two. And the reason for that is I thought Mr. Dumas would address a certain procedural glitch and the true warrants. I think this court has to be told about that. There were two search warrants issued against this premises. The first search warrant was issued on February 23rd, 1996. The affiant on that warrant was Detective Earhart, who was a police officer with 17 years of experience and 3 years of experience in the Narcotics Division. On that particular day, on the 23rd of February, the first warrant, cocaine was seized from the premises. Subsequently to that, 5 days later, a confidential informant stated that narcotic activity was still continuing on that premises and that an individual by Big Nate Braxton telephoned him and told him additional cocaine sales were coming out of that place. But that response, the Cleveland Police Department came to the prosecutor's office and a second search warrant was issued, which was dated February 28, 1996. That second search warrant, the affiant in that warrant was Detective Parkinson, who has 28 years of experience as Cleveland Police Department and 19 years in the Narcotics Division. Now, the appellate court, when they wrote their opinion, they had Detective Earhart as the affiant in that warrant, and they utilized the first warrant, which was the affidavit on the 23rd. The actual warrant that was utilized is the one contained following the state's brief, which is the warrant of the February 28th. Now, that clarification in mind, the appellate court asked for certification. There is no difference between the two warrants, except that the second warrant contains additional probable cause, that is, the experience of the officer being very much greater, Parkinson's affiant being much greater experience than Earhart, and secondly, that narcotics were seized from the place on the first, so that the record is correct, so that the certification is still identical despite the two warrants. And certification and the question presented to this court is that there's an all-purpose warrant constitution. What was the background of this case, and I think it has to be corrected so that
what was contained in the warrant that was used, what was contained in the wording of the warrant that would indicate that this residence was dealing in narcotics, had been dealing in narcotics in the past, and that anyone in the apartment was active in the sale or distribution of narcotics? In other words, what
there
facts
are... There were two factors, Justice Green.
That would allow...
Probable cause. This is not just a simple warrant without probable cause.
Okay.
As Mr. Dumas would have, this is not a Navarro versus Illinois situation. This is a situation where the police officers came to the county prosecutor's office and requested a search warrant, which is a judicial determination that there is probable cause that narcotic drugs are being present, being sold in this premises.
Do those facts...
The two factors that were told to the judge...
Do those facts have to be contained in the affidavit and search warrant?
Well, the only facts that have to be contained in there is a probable cause finding that crime is being committed in the premises. And any person's warrant factors that establish the probable cause are contained in points 4 and point 6 of the February 28th warrant. Point 4 is saying, in the experience of the affiant, narcotic drugs are frequently carried or concealed on people who are at locations where drugs are used, kept, or sold, and the size or usable quantities of drugs are small, making them easy to conceal amongst persons. The other indicia of probable cause is point number 6, further in the experience of the affiant. Persons who traffic in illegal drugs frequently keep weapons such as firearms on or about their person or within their possession for use against law enforcement officials as well as other citizens.
Well,
this is a crack house.
Well, clearly, if they went there, they had reason to believe that there would be drugs and that Nate might be selling drugs.
Is the question about that?
No question about that. The question is the expansiveness of the order of search. Now, clearly, they could have gone in there, and by the nature of this drug activity, probably frisked everybody in there.
Absolutely.
Because under the Terry, they could have frisked him to Russia.
That's the alternate.
But what if Nate's wife and kids are in there?
Could they have searched his wife and kids?
They were told to search them. All persons on the... It's an all persons warrant.
It's an all persons warrant.
So all persons on the premises probably have to be doing drugs.
It's a fair conclusion to draw.
Because it's a crack house?
And especially a crack house. This is not a public place like a bar, where your bar is a public tavern, and you get inside that public tavern, and patrons are going in there, and then you get a search warrant which says all general people, general exploratory warrant, and the police come in there and search every patron in the place when there's absolutely no mention that a patron ever sold drugs to the bartender named Greg in that place or buying from drugs. This is a crack house.
Did the officer tell the magistrate whether innocent persons might be on the premises?
No.
Do they require to?
I think he told them that people who are at crack houses are in the business of either selling drugs, preparing drugs, protecting drugs, and have weapons, and they are protecting their stash inside this crack house.
Unfortunately, people who sell crack often sell it in places in which innocent people are around them, their kids and their wives.
That's true.
So what do they get searched too?
Well, they have to have a warrant describing the particularity, the probable cause.
But this warrant said all persons on the premises.
On the premises.
What if his wife and kids are on the premises?
His wife was on the premises. His wife is the owner of the premises. Her name is Juanita King.
And she was so ordered searched.
She was searched and she was subsequently arrested on one of the cases.
Does that overbroadness of that warrant invalidate the warrant?
It's not overbroad.
It brought her into the warrant, didn't it?
Yes, and she had cocaine on her presence, too.
Okay, was there any evidence that
she... And Skinny had cocaine. He had 14 vials of cocaine on his presence.
Was there any evidence that the wife would be selling drugs?
Well, let me explain. The police officers come to a warrant. They get a name from an informant. Once they get the name from the informant, they arrest the probable cause. When we get an all-purpose warrant, it's a natural consequence that people on the premises of a crack house, because when you go to a crack house, it's just not just knocking on the doors and may accused come in.
Everybody
many of these doors are sealed doors. They're like slits in the doors. You can't get in unless they trust you and they know you. So people who are on those premises are by their very nature conducting nefarious activity, and that is selling drugs, protecting from drugs, preparing them, shipping them, and all that. The police officers get inside the judge program, and they see other people on the premises. Now, the warrant would simply be frustrated. That's a big name. Or Ernest Kenny or Mrs. Kenny would simply take the drugs and put it on another third person like her son and say, well, they're not looking for me. They're looking for me. They're not looking for you, so you hold it. And that's the purpose of the dissent.
It is the crack
and in Justice Rehnquist's decision in Yavara, and he mentions that.
Is the crack house the only instance that you could think an all-purpose warrant would be valid?
I think it would be absolutely one of the instances.
It would be a very narrow circumstance.
Very narrow circumstance.
But you think in this narrow circumstance, the information given to the magistrate was such that it would not result in the search of innocent people?
Exactly. It would be criminal for the judge not to allow any person search on the premises of the crack house.
But which,
for the very reasons I just delineated, that all the person who is the object of the search, like big name, would just take the drugs and give it to somebody else.
But what you're saying is that by the nature of the place to be searched, no one in that place is innocent. Everyone in that place has something to do with drug activity.
By the very nature of weapons and drugs go hand in hand. People are there to protect their stash and nobody's going to touch their cocaine. And it's a potential for violence. And I disagree with Mr. Nunes when he said this is not a Terry type situation. The alternative upholding of this search against Ernest Kenny is predicated upon the theory that the police officers would be negligent in their duty if they did not pat down occupants of a crack house, because those individuals could take out their guns in 1 second and wipe out the police department searching their premises.
But that's
very dangerous.
That's an alternative you don't have here, because at least this portrayal of the record is once he got the officer to say, I based the search on the warrant.
We don't have
a representation as he sat down and didn't ask any more questions, probably wisely.
We don't have that because of one thing, the diligence of the police officer, Justice Becker, searching everybody to prevent an operation before it occurs. They don't take nicely to people coming into their homes.
I understand. And just in terms of the testimony in this...
And this is for the record before you.
We don't have...
We have the state contends it's an all-purpose, a main person warrant, and it is this Constitution.
Okay, taking a word, a follow-up of a word Judge Brogan was on his sentence. If the activity were prostitution instead of drugs, can you use an old person's warrant in fact?
I think the results would be the same, but prostitution is a misdemeanor offense. So I think the degree of probable cause would be even lighter than in this particular case. But because the sale of cocaine is a felony.
But you would justify an old person's warrant the informant says, I've been there.
The prosecutor's not going to reveal anything illegal. I mean, you can go up to 10 ladies in a place and they're simply saying, I'm there to play cards, and you can pat them down. And nothing illegal is going to be found.
So you would agree
it requires a different set of factors.
Okay, so you would agree an old person's warrant in that circumstance would not be
very useful. Would that be useful?
Lawful is the question.
Because there is nothing to seize.
No evidence of prostitution, unless they're in the
prostitution.
Right. Now let's move it to gambling.
All right.
All persons warrant and illegal gambling.
Absolutely, in that case, because you would have items to seize. And you would see evidence of the crime being committed in front of you. You would have the chips, you would have the debit cards, you would have all that. And money scattered everywhere.
And evidence. Justify an old person's warrant on the basis that evidence of the crime could be secreted on their clothing.
Sure. These are minor intrusions. These are not major intrusions. Just as simply as the United States Supreme Court said.
Intrusion to search is very minor.
You're searching for the cocaine. You're searching for a weapon.
Okay.
It's a very brief.
I guess on that, I guess we would have a basic disagreement. It would seem to me that a search of a person is not a minor intrusion.
Well, that's what the Supreme Court of the United States says. And they say that quite loudly and clearly in Jerry versus.
That's not a search, that's a frisk.
That's a frisk.
All you can do is pat the outer clothing.
That's right, the frisk is a minor intrusion. And this is what the Supreme Court says in Jerry.
Well, they didn't say it's a minor intrusion.
No.
They said it was a significant intrusion, but it was reasonable to protect officers. I think it's reasonable to frisk when you go into a crack house, sure. What I'm concerned about is whether you've given enough information to ensure that the all-purpose warrant doesn't bring within its ambit.
It does
innocent
not,
people.
It does not bring into play innocent people like crack or rooms.
Well, did he use the term crack house?
Justice Sweeney's concurring opinion in this particular case with the Court of Appeals was said that if it was anything else other than crack house, I would demand more in the warrant. I think that is probably appropriate admonition. But in this particular case, you should not be concerned because of the nefarious type of people that are usually found present in a crack cocaine house. So I would ask that the hitting person's requirement in the warrant is constitutional. The remaining time I have, I would like to share my arguments with Mr. Fry.
Mr. Say, could I ask you one thing before you leave? Were the vials of drugs found on Mr. Kinney as a result of a Terry pat down?
Correct.
I mean that could support it otherwise. That's the point. Okay.
Or is it around follow up the Terry pat situation? The number one thing they have to do is to make sure there are no weapons on these individuals to prevent the armed violence that would escalate into a situation. And if they feel that there's something there other than a still search under Minnesota versus Harrison and it's very civil or incident to an arrest pursuant to Chenault versus California.
I'll try a little less than 2 minutes.
To be seen.
Getting up to it with the white light already on, I will be very brief. I think the central issue this morning is the search reasonable? Is this a search the Fourth Amendment would recognize as reasonable? Judge Brogan, you've asked several questions about the potential for an innocent person being caught in this crack house. And I suppose the accurate answer is an innocent person may be. But we have to look at this search through the eyes of the police officer. Is this reasonable for the police officer to expect that this innocent person may in fact be concealing evidence of the crime?
Mm-hmm. this, we're looking at this in the minds of what did you give the issuing magistrate for purposes of the issuing the search warrant. We're not dealing with what the officer did once they got in there pursuant to it not using the search warrant.
I'm not suggesting that, Your Honor. What we gave the magistrate the fact that we had a previous controlled by and a search warrant executed on February 23rd.
One controlled by observing an apartment in which one controlled by was made and they observed people go in and out of the apartment for 72 hours. Did that establish that that was a crack house and not an apartment in which other innocent people might be living?
Your Honor, when we couple that with the additional information in this affidavit that Big Nate is back in business, Big Nate calls the informant and says, I've got stuff to sell. When the informant says, I've been in the house within the last 72 hours and it's back, we're back in business. Yes, we have established beyond any doubt that this is a crack house.
They never use the term crack house.
I don't think we need to use the term crack house.
That's well known to police what a crack house is.
Absolutely it is. But what we have is a record replete that this is an ongoing criminal enterprise.
So your light's on, but I just can't help but ask. I keep referring to Big Nate, and Big Nate called somebody else.
Did he ever get arrested?
Back in business. Did all of this result in the arrest of Big Nate?
Absolutely it did, Your Honor. And Big Nate is under indictment in this case, Nathaniel Braxton. I would suggest to this court that this was, in fact, a reasonable search, that while there may be an unintended target present in the home, that unintended target may likely be concealing evidence of a crime. It is not uncommon that infants or the infirm are used unwittingly by a devious criminal in the drug enterprise to conceal the evidence. Without that reasonableness approach, the police function would clearly be frustrated in this case. We would ask that this court affirm the decision by the 8th District Court of Appeals. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Mr. Dimmitt, you've saved about a minute of your time.
Thank you. I can't say enough how much I disagree with Mr. Stagg as to this being a scary frisk. It was clear from the testimony from the officer that he searched him. There was no question about him doing a Terry type pat down. There was not even an issue of safety and protection of the police officers there. He just saw Mr. Kinney, boom, I've got the search warrant, I'm going to search you. There's no question of reasonableness here. The issues that were brought up concerning Detective Parks and understanding that there might be guns on the situation and all that. A one-year officer can say that there might be guns at a crack house, but that is not particularized issues that give rise to probable cause to search any and all person that are there.
Counsel, I assume we practice in this type of case. Is the search warrant that was issued here as a pro forma standard search warrant, or was it particularized more of just being
the worst rubber stamp comes to mind? All of these search warrants have these things on them in Cuyahoga County at least, and it's in essence it's a sweep of whoever is there.
So paragraph 4 is in each search warrant for crack house for the items that are sampled through.
Oh, about the weapons? Absolutely. There's just a little change in the affidavits. There's not much to be differentiated between one affidavit as opposed to another.
Change the name of the officer, don't they?
Well, that's important.
Mr. Dumas, I didn't see it. I guess maybe I missed it in the briefing, but isn't there an element of expectation here? We have in other search cases, you know, we have the question of does the occupant of the car expect that car different parts of the trunk are typically going to be searched? Wouldn't we, in weighing our concern about innocent persons being searched in a tavern, a search of this nature would catch some people who would never expect to be searched. But if people are in a crack house or in a house where cocaine is being sold
regularly,
wouldn't their expectation be that they might be searched if a police officer came in?
Well, it is.
Not the children, certainly, but...
I understand what you mean, but one of the interesting things about this particular case, Your Honor, is that the record is so limited. There are things that the court and other people might want to infer about crack houses and everything else. We can't manufacture those things. We have to live with the record as it is. And the record suggests that the only reason that Detective Aronofsky did it was because of the authority of the warrant. There was no other circumstance that give rise to talk about expectations, that talk about what was going on in this particular case. We are left with a narrow record that said Ernest King was there, there was a search warrant, Detective Urbach arrested him. That's it.
Would you be in worse shape if the fine that the detective had been more explicit, there are no children on the premises?
I would be in worse shape if he started talking about things that Ernest Kinney and others might have done that would have given rise to thinking he was, his safety was jeopardized.
The question is, did they confine, give the information to the magistrate so the magistrate would believe that if I gave a warrant that said search all persons on the premises, I would believe that probably everybody on the premises is committing a crime? Did he give that kind of information, or did he leave the possibility by not saying there are no children on the premises, there is no spouse on the premises, that only people I saw are all males, all doing drugs, so that the people who are probably on the premises are all probably doing drugs?
Okay, I understand your question. The information that he gave to the magistrate was only about big names. There was no other particular line.
And one controlled by
an apartment.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. The marshal, please adjourn court.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.